Yo,
Yo.
what's up? How you been?
I've been pretty splendid. What about you?
Good. This is it's gonna be a fun one or interesting one. So on this one we got a 20-year-old entrepreneur, self-made, and we're gonna be asking him a few questions, what he does. Maybe you can give us some advice, tips, and we'll go from there. So you can tell us, like, give us like a brief overview of like about what you
What do
do
you do? Yeah.
in like a few sentences, you know.
Basically, I'm a day trader. I day trade in the stock market, specifically in the futures market. I day trade NASDAQ is one of the futures indices, and I make money off of volatile conditions in the markets. I take advantage of the volatility that the offer markets, and I make money off the changes of the price movements. That's it.
All right. Well, that was a lot. So I'm gonna ask a quick question right off the bat. Obviously, I'm not very educated in this, so I'm gonna be asking a lot of questions today. So day trading. Could you give me a brief explanation, or could you give us and the viewers a brief explanation of what day trading actually is?
Day trading is a lot of things. There's many different styles of day trading. For example, I'm a scalper. So scalpers, they're also considered day traders, but scalpers can be in trades a couple seconds to a couple minutes. I trade by scalping, so I'm in trades in seconds. So in seconds, I'm in and out. There's other people that are in trades for a couple minutes. Others are in for a couple hours, but they get in and out in the same day. But basically, like I said, they take advantage of price movements. So there's a saying, buy low and sell high. So if a price of a stock is at $10, you would sell at a profit at a higher price. Does that make sense? So
Yeah,
sell at
so you buy it
$15.
at low.
That's how you make
Buy it at
money.
low. All right. So, okay. Well, how difficult is it? I know like trading in general is a very difficult thing because you have to like almost guesstimate or kind of guess where stuff is gonna go. But how difficult is it actually? As a person who does it, how difficult is day trading?
Honestly, I think it's one of the hardest, if not the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. To this day, I still find it challenging every single day. Every single day I wake up, I have a routine, and this is in order for me to be able to perform because I know that day trading is a very challenging task and it's to be taken very seriously and it's not easy at all. But yeah, honestly, I think it's one of the most difficult, but also one of the most rewarding careers out there.
Do you find it okay? So, do you find it more fun? I don't know if you've ever done a 9 to 5 or not, but do you find it more fun than maybe a 9 to 5 or maybe working as an engineer or a doctor, which are all pretty much 9 to 5s where you're in an office space and you're working? Do you find what you do more enjoyable, or do you find it on like would you think it would be at the same level, or what are your opinions on that?
Usually I finish my days in less than 30 minutes. So my goal for every day is to finish my trading in 30 minutes or less. Sometimes it's a little bit over 30 minutes, maybe 1 hour. Sometimes it's 1 minute, sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 15, but the median is usually 30 minutes. I have worked a 9 to 5. I used to work at a grocery store. It's called Market Street, pretty similar to Target or Walmart. And I was called the bagger. So the people would go to the cashier and, push the items, and I would bag the items and then put them into the cart and take them to their car, put the bags, the groceries into their car, and then take the cart back. And I would do that. Usually my shifts were 4 to 8 hours. This was back when I was 17. Yeah, 17. And man, I hated it. It was horrible. Oh,
So,
I was paid $6 an hour. No tips.
all right. Do you think it's Do you think it's more rewarding to learn something that can benefit you more in the long term, or do something that's short term and only have a temporal reward? So basically, do you think what's better is learn something long term that can provide more in the long run, or just take a simple 9-to-5 that will just make you money by exchanging time, and then you'd burn it within a few months? What do you think is?
I mean, obviously, I think it's a lot better to, think more long-term, dedicate your time to something that's going to be a lot more rewarding in the long run. However, in situations like this, like people that want to start a business or are doing a business, I do believe that a 9-to-5 is not a bad thing if it's the tool or the bridge that's going to take you to, finance that business. So for a day trader, you need a lot of money to trade. So I would think if you want to trade, use your 9-to-5 to fund yourself to be able to trade, or use your 9-to-5 to fund your music business or whatever online business you have, whatever. But at a certain point, I do think it is important to take that leap of faith and go all in.
Okay, so this is a little, maybe not off topic, but I wanted to ask you, since you're a person who's done a 9-to-5, I've never done one personally. Biden is pretty much serious, and we have an episode on this, serious about increasing the minimum wage to $15. Do you think that would make minimum wage jobs or 9-to-5 jobs like working at McDonald's or Walmart or Target, do you think that would make them more worth people's time, like more worth working at places like that? Or do you think it just wouldn't change the fact that you're doing just heavy labor for a really long time?
I mean, I don't really think the minimum wage matters even if they increase it. If they increase the minimum wage, inflation is going to fall behind. So it doesn't really matter.
Question. I don't really know what inflation is, always said. Inflation is. So could you explain that to me in the audience real quick?
Inflation is just the rise of the prices. So, for example, gas prices. A couple years ago, they were at like $1.50. I believe right now they're at like $3 for the normal version, 89, up to like $3.50. In California, it's at like $5, $6. Price of milk, that can change. Clothes, meat gets more expensive. Technology, that's inflation, rise of price of products. So if you were making $7 on a minimum wage, probably the gas was around like $1.50. This is just hypothetically. But if they do increase, wages, minimum wages, normal wages, whatever, to compensate for that, there will be inflation and your dollar is worth less. So
regardless of the minimum wage increases or not, people are going to still live under the poverty line pretty much, because it's still the prices are going to increase.
Yeah. Prices increase, real estate increases, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer.
So as an entrepreneur, you just said the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. How do you think a poor person, so let's say a person who's living off minimum wage, could jump up to the higher ranks of society from almost nothing? What would your advice be to someone like that? Or that's the first question. I got another one after that one, but yeah, that's the first question. So if someone is on a really low basis, like very poor, living off almost nothing, what would your advice be for them to go from there to middle class and maybe even higher classes as they go on? What would your advice be there?
So your question is how to start from the bottom and go up?
Yeah. So your advice on that, yeah.
I really think it comes to your mentality. Your mentality plays probably the biggest role, 98% of the outcome of your future. So if you have a poor mentality, you're not going to get very far. If you have I don't want to say rich mentality, but a positive mentality, then your outcome is most likely will be that you will be successful. For example, if you have a very poor mentality of very negative, of, oh, you know what, starting a business is, it's risky, it's this and that. I'm just going to stick to this because this is what most people do. Most people, they end up going to, they graduate, they end up going to a community college because it's, you know, the most basic thing, it's the next step. And they, most people, I believe the most common career is business management or something like that. So yeah, I think if you have a very poor mentality, you're literally going to be like a leaf in the wind, just going wherever life takes you. And that's not very good. You have no control.
Do you, I read something probably like a few months back. It says to choose your heart. So it says to be poor, being poor is hard, getting rich is hard, starting a business is hard, working a 9-to-5 is hard, being obese is hard, getting fit is hard. So it's so like it's all down to choosing your heart, right?
Yeah, basically. Okay. I like that saying.
I did want to, who's my follow-up question to that one? So what about your advice for teenagers, people in high school, people who don't really know what they want to do with life, but they would know that they want to be successful? What would your advice be for, like, should they start a business or a podcast like we're doing? Or do you think they should start learning how to invest? Or do you think they should get a 9-to-5 and start there? What would your initial response to someone asking you, how do I start becoming wealthy? Or how do I, you know, become a wealthy person quickly? What would your advice be to them?
I think the best advice I could give is surround yourself with successful people, or surround yourself with people that are where you want to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you want to get to, I don't know, if you want to be a millionaire, hang around millionaires. There's a saying, I'm not sure how it's gone, but it's show me who you hang around with and I'll show you what your income is, who you become. So the top 5 people that you hang around with is what you're going to become. So if all 5 of your friends make minimum wage, you're probably also working a minimum wage and you're going to stay there. But if all 5 of your friends are millionaires and they're always talking about ideas, businesses, mentality, you're most likely going to become like them too.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we did an episode on this where we said it was called Why Friends Determine Your Future, and we touched up on this.
Yeah, we talked about how
you surround yourself around not even just successful people, but people who want to be successful, who you know are good people.
Yeah, so that's one thing. Second thing is learn how to sell. Learn how to sell yourself. Learn how to sell a product. In my opinion, grades don't really matter. They don't mean anything, at least not to me. But if you know how to problem solve, if you know how to sell or provide value, you're set for life. Knowing how to provide value is probably the most important thing.
Provide value and then you receive value.
That's it.
Yeah. All right, good first section. We're going to cut to a quick ad and we'll be right back.
Yep. Okay, so hope that ad was fun. Okay, now we're gonna talk about we did talk about this once again, but it's always really good to get insight on others' point of view about this. We're gonna talk about the school system. So go ahead, guest. You can just give us your first initial thoughts about it.
The school system. The problems, the issues with the school system?
Yeah.
I think the school system, at least in some parts, it's just really bad. It fails a lot of students. It fails a lot of kids. I think that's really one of the reasons that a lot of people, you know, end up lost throughout their high school experience and way after that. I know a lot of people right now that went to my high school are they're pretty lost. It's actually pretty sad because they were really good students, straight A students, and you know, now they're out drinking, smoking, who knows, doing what. Definitely nothing productive.
You know, how do you think it felt? Like, to me, I obviously believe it fails students, but do you think school, I obviously think this, but do you think school makes students feel like they're dumber, or does it just not prepare students? Like, what I mean is, for smart students, a lot of smart students I know, right, they obviously know they're smart and stuff, but they're so dead center focused on school that I feel like they occasionally forget that outside of, you know, school, there is no actual formation in the life. Like, there's no strict schedule. You got period 1 to 8. You got, there's not that safe space anymore. It's something I talked with a lot of people about. It's like how school's kind of like a safe space. It gives you a schedule to follow that you're forced to follow. And so it's something you're safe with. But do you think it just doesn't prepare people for life in general when they decide to leave and exit that safe space?
Yeah, let's start off with the first thing that comes to my mind. I think the school system fails the students in that aspect that you just mentioned. It makes kids feel not as smart as they should be. For example, in my situation, I had really bad grades throughout all of school, middle school and high school and college. I went to college for about a year and I dropped out. But all throughout high school, I think high school was one of the worst experiences I've had. I always had a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. You know, my parents would get really mad at me if I didn't have good grades or at least pass. My teachers would honestly make me feel really stupid. And that made me, across the years, that made me mentally very weak when it came to, you know, outside things. For example, you know, I played a lot of sports, specifically tennis. I competed around the state, and I knew that I had the potential to become one of the best in the country. But I think one of the issues was my mentality. I wasn't able to perform at my best because of a lot of limiting beliefs that I had caused by, you know, school system, parents, friends. For example, the grades. When it comes to grades, if you get a bad grade, you're punished for it. You know, I think in my school, if you failed, you had to go to detention. I don't remember. Or for example, with my parents, you know, it would not be a fun time. So I think it's very bad for school systems to punish kids and students for getting bad grades. They're being classified the whole time by what number they have, what GPA they have, SAT scores. For the SAT, all of my friends were very, very smart. They were getting perfect SAT scores, applying to the best schools in the country. And I was out here failing the SAT and all that stuff. So I think those numbers, those grades, this is very bad.
It's almost like
you not believe in yourself.
It's almost like an industry setting, you know what I mean? Like, you're judged by how many shoes you can sell or how many shoes you can make in a minute, you know what I mean? Like, your grades are kind of like the amount of product you can give out at that time or how much you can process stuff. And the funny thing is, even though smart kids, I will contact some of the smart kids and they will know absolutely nothing about what they learned in school, but they'll know about stuff they're passionate about, whether it be engineering or wanting to be a doctor and stuff. And to me, me and Esteban talked about this, but we actually said, like, I don't think like high school should be more related to what you want to do in college and the rest of your life. What do you think? Like, the school system should have it where, because it's necessary to learn all the math and English before that. But then in high school, all you're really doing is being redundant. You're doing the same stuff over and over. And so, yeah. Do you believe that high school should be where people choose kind of like what they want to be, or learn new things, experience new stuff, and not have to worry about grades?
Yeah, I think school, honestly, all in all, they should just remove the grades or have something else to, you know, classify your behavior. I don't know, your results. But I do think that throughout high school, it should be more of a formation for your life. You know, how to build your confidence, how to cope with anxiety, how to cope with, you know, difficult issues. Most importantly, how to problem solve. One of the things that I mentioned a couple minutes ago was how to sell yourself, how to provide value. You know, a lot of the projects that you do in school, you know, you do science projects, silly projects that, you know, I think they had something called the science fair, which is not a bad thing. I think that's really good. But in math class, you would have silly projects that, you know, were pretty useless. Instead of, you know, doing projects like build a business, build a brand, sell this to me, learn how to sell, learn how to provide value, how to speak in front of people. You know, I think there was a speech class, but, and you know, the professors were very mediocre. Just they focus on the wrong things. How to build a budget. You know, like I said, I'm 20 years old. I've been living alone about almost a year, and I had to learn how to build a budget, how to manage my money. Thankfully, money is not an issue now, but at the very start, you know, if you don't have a budget, you kind of lose track of where your money goes.
Do you think, beyond just the school system being, you know, very bad and crappy, do you think the students in the school, the toxicity, do you think this toxicity adds on to the already crappy situation? Do you think just the students themselves and the environment, and how school doesn't really help address environments? Like in a lot of schools, like let's say Juuling's a really big problem in schools now. A lot of schools just close off bathrooms. You just can't go to the bathroom anymore. And that's not really fixing the problem. And then do you think just the way schools deal with like student behavior and then the toxicity itself in school also affects the student and how, you know, they think and stuff like that?
Well, what kind of toxicity are you referring to?
Whether it be gossiping or, you know, drugs or like smoking, stuff like that, just in general. Do you think, like, I know schools are really crappy with bullying and everything. They're really bad at taking care of that. But like, do you think all that stuff and how it's really badly managed and how schools really just, I'm gonna say, don't really give a crap about it. A lot of schools don't give a crap about it. Do you think that affects students negatively? Like, I already know it does, but like, do you think that adds on to the already crappy situation of how bad the school system actually is?
I mean, yes, I think it does add on, but you know, none of that is going to disappear. There's always going to be kids that are going to want to bully others. There's always going to be the smokers, the drinkers, the disobedient kids. That's always, you know, those kids are not going to disappear. And that's more of that. The root of the way they act is more because of their parents.
There is.
You know, or friends that they have. But the school system, they really can't do much about that. It really comes down to the parents, how they were raised.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does add on to the negative parts of school, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to get yourself out of your own rut that you were placed in. You know, some people are born in a rut, and you got to get yourself out of it.
Yeah, that's why I said, you know, who you surround with is what you're going to become. Another important thing is you become what you think about. Yeah, if you think about, you know, I think about success. I think about, you know, I don't think money is a very important thing, but unfortunately money is a tool that is necessary to get where you want or live the lifestyle that you want. So I like to think about the number that I want to achieve. I like to think about the lifestyle, the way I wake up, the car I drive, all those things, and you manifest it and it eventually becomes reality.
Now, do you think,
wait one sec, there is also that, but I think a lot of people recently, this past year, have known about that manifesting and becoming what you think. But it's also important to acknowledge that you can think all you want, but you also need to take action on it, right?
Yeah,
like, you need to, because it's important to mention that you can't just think, I'm gonna do this, and you can't work on the days you feel like working. You gotta like work at it every day, and actually like put action into the knowledge, make the knowledge experience.
Yeah, I completely agree. It comes hand in hand.
Yeah. Okay, you can.
Do you think do you think, well, there's obviously, you know, the situation you're born in, you can't really choose who your parents are or what they do, whether they have good habits or bad habits. Do you think schools should focus a little bit more on supporting students like that? Like, I had a person I know was taking care of their mother, working a 9-to-5 and doing school, and school had no sympathy upon the absence they had, because apparently school is more important than making sure your mom has food on her plate because she's sick. And like, do you think school should take this stuff a little bit more seriously and not worry less about grades and attendance for students like that, and give them more support and more resources so that those students may come out successful? Because a lot of those students just end up feeling stressed, overwhelmed, because they become adults pretty much taking care of their parents, and the school system is just pretty much like a boss. It's like, I don't care what you have going on, doesn't matter. A lot of school systems are like that. I don't know about our school, but a lot of school systems are like that. I don't care about what you're doing. I don't care about what's going on in your life. You got to come here for attendance, or we're going to take you to court. You know what I mean? And it's like, do you think they should change? I believe they should change that, but how do you think they should change that? How do you think they should still support students who have struggles like that?
That's a difficult. There's a lot of solutions, but you know, it really comes down to the teachers and the people that are up there to actually, you know, comply and take care of the students. I think one of the issues also is teachers are not paid enough. So since teachers are not paid enough, it's very easy to become a teacher, and they also just consider it as another day job, and then, all right, whatever, let's get through the day, continue. I think if teachers had a more of an incentive to actually take care of the students and, you know, worry about them, they would be a lot more successful, you know.
I talked about this once. School is a place where, set aside, you know, everything that's happened with COVID, school would be a place where we'd be there from 9 or whatever place. We'd be there around 7 hours, 8 hours a day. And I would see most of these teachers literally didn't even care. They were just, most of them were always on the computer. Some teachers didn't care. So I mentioned in one episode that the teacher shouldn't just be a teacher, but the teacher should be someone with a caring classroom. The teacher should be, the teacher should be like a guardian in a sense, a parent. Someone that makes you feel safe, not just someone that's teaching you how to solve an equation. You know, it's gotta be someone that you can, you know, maybe not tell them everything, but at least be a place where you feel welcome, you know? Because to be
a teacher, like I said, it's a very difficult issue to solve, because of, you know, there's always going to be bad teachers. There's always going to, it's very difficult to solve the problems of a kid that's also not willing to open up. Yeah, that's a very difficult topic.
Yeah, I mean,
I think counselors are really good. However, like I said, they're also very mediocre. At least in my school, it was very mediocre. They also make you feel, you know, less because of your grades, this and that. How are your grades? Instead of, you know, how do you deal with stress? How do you deal with anxiety? How do you get out of that? How do you improve your confidence? I think that's a lot of the things that would help a lot of those kids' mentality.
Yeah, to like prioritize mental health.
Mental health is very important, and also having bringing in speakers, successful people. You know, a lot of the times when I was in high school, they would bring in speakers to the auditorium, and they would take us out there, and the whole school would just listen to the guys, and they would be ridiculous things. Sometimes it would be, for example, I think a couple times a year they would have something called pep rallies. Cool, pep rallies are awesome. But why don't you also include, you know, speeches? Get successful people to come and speak, you know? Get the kids motivated. Get the kids, you know, fired up, you know? Show them that there's other possibilities, other ways of doing things. But, you know, kids are programmed just to go to school and comply with the grades. But yeah. I think bringing in other good examples to come to speak to the students would be a very good solution.
Yeah. You know, finding honestly, that idol. It's not just the school system, it's parents too. It's like you got the school system stressing you out because every teacher acts like she's the only class, or they're the only class you have. and then you got your parents back at some people's parents back at home pushing for you got to get this perfect grade, you got to get this perfect grade. And any creative idea a lot of kids have, whether it be about art, sports, investing, stuff like that, a lot of it gets shot down by parents because, like, boom, what is that? That's not a job. You have to become a doctor, an engineer. A lot of traditional families are like that. It's like, what are you saying? You can't make a job off art. You can't make a job off animation. You can't make a job off being a sports player. You can't make a job off investing in the stock market. That stuff is all side. You have to focus on school and stuff. And then, like, a lot of the dreams don't just get shot down by the stress from school, but, like, by parents, too. They just sit there and they just snipe some of their children's dreams away because it's not the traditional way of getting through life. You know what I mean?
Something I kind of observed in all this is that we're all constantly, our thoughts are almost probably a majority, probably like a good 80% of our thoughts on ourselves and on other people are generated by the thoughts of others. So, I mean, imagine, like, how would it be if we got to, like, actually, like, understand ourselves? And because if you think about, like, things about you think yourself, so if I think about myself and I think about something I did, I'll think about it because someone else probably told it to me. So most of our thoughts are almost generated by what other people think. We never have that freedom in our own mind to think about ourselves and what we actually think. We're always constantly being leashed onto what other people think. So we think what others think. So I think it's probably, like, it'd be good to somehow implement time into a day where you have time for yourself and to just understand yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very important. Not caring also what others think, you know, taking that leap of faith.
Yeah.
From my situation, to get where I was, I had to take a huge risk. I moved out of my parents' house, and I moved to a whole different country, dropped out of college, you know, left everything behind with the hopes of, you know, becoming, you know, a success.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think I've made it yet. But for now, I'm comfortable, but I'm not where I want to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just don't take the leap of faith. A lot of people just are trapped by the idea that, you know, if I'm not going through college, finishing college and doing something with the college degree, then I'm just not, you know, I'm not going to be successful. And it's a very negative way of thinking about stuff. But then, you know, I don't know. A lot of people think like that. A lot of people just think they have to get through college and school and that there's always light at the end of the tunnel, where in fact, usually there isn't, because even with a degree, your degree is just a paper. And after that, you need experience in whatever job you want to work in. And then after that,
whenever you get a job, you're just a number.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, the whole career decision is, like, something, like, you really got to take, you know, you can't. It's not something you rushed, because, like, when you rush, the quality of your work and judgment suffers. So it's a choice that you have to, like, really, really dwell on. Don't rush. I don't know why it's so, I talked about this once in another episode. I don't know why it's such an ideal that you gotta go to college right after you graduate high school, or don't take a gap year, go straight to community college. Like this is a decision that you have to take seriously. Like, if you choose the wrong career path, and then you end up 3 years stuck in college, and then you end up feeling like, oh no, it's too late, I can't go back, then you're gonna be kind of screwed by yourself. Unless you take a second leap of faith by sacrificing and having the courage to do what's right and drop in completely, then, you know, it's like career decision. You cannot rush that. Mm-hmm. You just cannot. And sometimes it's not even a career. Sometimes you just want to, like, I don't know, live in the woods or something. I don't know. Like, it's not all a career, but don't rush choices. It's you can't rush.
I think that's another place where school fails. We don't really get any hands-on experience, or matter of fact, any exposure to any, you know, jobs until high school. And then all of a sudden they're like, what do you want your career to be? Oh, on your SAT, you have to write what you're going to major in. On so-and-so, you have to tell us exactly what you want to be. What are you thinking about your career? Have you thought about careers? And it's like, then you come senior year and everyone's just like, I have no clue what I want to do with my life. And then it's rushed because you're going to graduate. What are you going to do? You got to go to college. And then people just end up choosing a random college and just choosing a random thing based off the description, not based off if they like it or not.
And it's also a paragraph description. That's exactly what I did.
You just read the paragraph.
That's actually pretty ridiculous. Like, imagine that you go to school for so many years
And then they give you a booklet of the university with the most popular, you know, degree or major, whatever they call it. Still don't know what's the difference. And my situation, found the closest community college. I didn't even enroll. It was my parents that enrolled me. I was forced into it, even though I didn't want to go in. Read a quick paragraph of what the major was about, and I was like, all right, screw it, whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people...
changes your life forever.
Exactly. That's what schools don't understand is, like, if a paragraph description entices me and then I choose it, but, like, I'm now going to go to college, get in debt, that's one. Two, now maybe I don't like my job and I end up in a miserable job. Even if I'm making, like, 6 or 7 figures, that's cool and all, but if you don't love your job, you're just going to sit there miserably every day making money and just still being miserable with money. Pretty much, if you're miserable, poor or rich, you're still miserable. You're just miserable without money and then miserable with money. You're still miserable in both cases.
There's a difference between loving what you do and doing what you love.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's
right. And it's like, yeah, and then I ask a lot of people. It's like when you ask a lot of people what you want to major in and stuff in college, they're like, you should volunteer. Yeah, there's a lot of places where you can volunteer. And it's crazy because school is the place where I'm supposed to know this, not some dude outside that I met in Chipotle, or like the person that was giving me the vaccine who was telling me, yeah, my son went to this college. There's a lot of opportunities here and there. Why is the doctor giving me the vaccine telling me about the volunteering opportunities, but the school that's going to make me graduate is not telling me about volunteering opportunities and apprenticing for jobs so I see what I like, or so other students see what they like? And you just end up with so many people unmotivated because all you hear is, you can be an engineer, you can be a doctor, or you can be a failure. And it's just like, I mean, there's being a biologist, there's being a vet, there's being so many subcategories to all these things. A marine engineer, you can be a pioneer and stuff like that. And it's just like, sit there and just all you're fed by the spoon is just, you know what, all you have to do is know E equals MC squared and you'll be successful. Like, no, I don't need to know what the mitochondria is, the powerhouse of the cell, for me to be successful. I need to know how to be successful by finding what I love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then going back to the negative, you know, influences from school, I just had a flashback right now to one of the teachers I had back in, senior year. I was 18 or 19 at the time. And I remember this teacher, she got me in trouble. She would always get mad at me because I was on the phone or something like that. And one day she took me out of the classroom and she gave me this pep talk. And she was like, kid, you know you're failing. You know you're not going to graduate because you're failing this class, this and that. This is one of your core classes, and what's going to become of you? You're going to end up in jail if you continue like this, behind bars. You need to start studying. You need to get good grades. You can't be messing around all the time. Ridiculous things, man. And that's just really bad. You know, those teachers that just, I don't know what it is with them that they just want to step on you. And what I was thinking right now is, man, I wish I could just go back to that high school and talk to that specific teacher and tell him, like, look, I made it. And I didn't go to college.
I mean, that comes in both hands. I'm, I think, very three-dimensional. I don't know if that's what it's called. But it's just like, you know, teachers are with all this pent-up rage, being paid, what, $30,000 a month? Like, McDonald's people, like McDonald's managers get paid more than a teacher. The teachers go to school.
That leads me to another thing. Right now, since I'm living in Mexico, who knows where I'm going to be living in a couple months. I like traveling. But right now, what I do is, for transportation, I take Ubers everywhere. And I get to talk to a lot of people, you know, the drivers. And, man, most of them, 95% of them, they're dead. They're literally dead.
Inside?
And, yeah, they're dead inside, man. You talk to them, and, man, they're dead. And I ask them, hey, man, like, how long are you going to be working? How's your day? This and that. At least here in Mexico, like, the payment, the salary is really bad. And these guys are working, you know, 15, 20 hours a day. I'm talking, and they're driving all around the city, man. Imagine that. You know, a lot of people,
They're annoyed by having to drive 15 minutes to their college or whatever. These guys are driving 10, 15 hours a day. Imagine how much they're making. The average of what they've told me is about $50 to $60 a day.
A day?
Yeah, 10 to 15 hours of driving. That's crazy. And they're dead. They're literally dead inside. And they have no hopes. And I asked them, hey, like, do you do something else besides this and that? No, this is all I do. How long have you been doing this? 7 years. And you check their profile on Uber and it tells you 15,000 trips. 4 years working with Uber. 5 stars, blah, 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 blah. And these guys are making, you know, $2 per trip, $3 per trip, sometimes five if they get lucky. But it's just crazy because
they made like minimum wage. They do better than what they're doing right now. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
Stupid.
The point is, you know, people are so dead. They have no hopes, no dreams. And that's a lot of the things that happen also with kids that, you know, coming out of high school or during high school. They're lost. You know, they're just going throughout the day, going through the routine, and they have no fire inside of them. That's why I was saying, you know, I think getting people to speak in front of the students, motivating them, giving them ideas, you know, that would help a lot. This is really sad to see.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like what I was saying in between this recording. I was saying I just that's kind of like one of the reasons why we wanted to start this podcast, because like I just wish like I don't know, like I see so many people in my school, so many people I know, and like they're all so lost. They're actually everybody is so lost. Everybody's like, well, I think I'm interested in this, I kind of like it, but deep down, nah, they know nothing about it. It's just,
I mean, a lot of people they're like tumbleweeds in the sky, in the desert. And it's, I sympathize for those people, because not everybody has the mental strength to continuously get beat down by a teacher or get beat down by their parents mentally with the whole failure aspect. I mean, you get called a failure enough times to become a failure. You know what I mean? It's just, begin to believe it. I mean, if every single way you turn, whether you have a dream or not, or you're just learning to, you're beginning to have a dream, everywhere you turn, all you hear is you're going to fail, or you're already a failure, nobody's going to love you, stuff like that. I mean, you end up believing that. Your brain ends up centering that as your personality, and you just lose yourself, and it's very difficult for you to find your way back. But for everybody that loses themselves and finds their way back, those are some of the most powerful people, because, you know, there's a saying I go by, kind of. You don't really fear the man who's lost. You fear the man who's lost and found his way back, because that's how you know that person's, you know, very, very powerful, both mentally and very capable. And so, I mean, and school only really sets you up to get lost. I haven't found anything else other than that. Yeah. I mean,
but
you go in there, teachers are horrible, most of them. You know, students, a lot of them are just smoking and trying to escape life because, I mean, school sucks. And a lot of them are going through stuff family-wise or life-wise. And you go around, there's just toxicity here and there. Teachers aren't all that great.
Yeah.
Your grades aren't all that great.
But it is also important to, like, touch up on, like yes, a majority, I think, of our generation is completely lost. But there are, we should respect the ones that, like, because there are some people that genuinely do want to be, like, crazy engineers and, you know, go on with working, like, you know, they want to, like my friend, you know, we brought on Chris the other day, like he's huge on that, bro. Like he's talked to so many like successful like race car designers, race car owners, and he's huge on that. And that type of career path does require, you know, a degree. In fact, he already got a spot reserved at a school that like is sponsored by NASCAR and stuff. But you know, yes, school is I mean, if you know what you're doing. And there's career paths that, yeah, it's, I know some of you like are actually like devoted to some of these things, but if we're gonna be honest and play the real, the majority of people nowadays are just dead lost.
Yeah, I mean, school system only really applies for those people who are motivated to become a specific thing, whether it be a vet, a doctor, an engineer, whatever it may be. That's what the school system really saves up for, you know, it helps you with. But for those people who are just not savvy with anything school-wise, don't wanna go to college, and don't want to do engineering, don't want to do, school really just closes off for that. It labels you off as a failure and a person who just is dirt, and you end up becoming dirt, whether you could have become, whereas if with a little bit of like, you know, motivation, you could have become the next Bill Gates.
We've all
Steve
got
jobs.
We've all got potential, something. Whatever it is, it's out there. Just gotta look for it. I think this is pretty good. Any final things you want to say, guest?
Don't give up. Keep grinding. Stay on your grind. Focus on yourself. Don't worry about others. You'll be fine.
All right. Sorry for the relatively longer segment today, but I really enjoyed this conversation. We're really glad to have you on today, guest. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you too. But as always, everybody out there, all our viewers, keep imagining, keep creating. We'll see you on the next one.